All right, so we're holding on Tess Amudbe's, the second line from the bottom. We're in the middle of discussing as follows. In our Mishnah, we know it said Chamesh Esrei Noshim, that there are 15 cases where no Yibum is possible because with one of the wives of the brother, because she's an Erva to one of the surviving brothers, to the surviving brother. So therefore he doesn't have a zika with her at all, nor with her tzara, etc. So what we said was, so you have 15 of them. So now we started the sugya that Levi pointed out to Rebbe, isn't there a 16th? And Rebbe answered him with a dismissive phrase. He says, "Kim dumali she'ein lo moyach b'chakodi." It seems to me that he, meaning you, have no brains in your head. Which we said is a bit of a sharp expression, a very sharp expression, but it means, in other words, we know Rebbe certainly is not putting down Levi completely. He knows that Levi is a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and there's a Medrash where he says that he's of the same caliber as him, but he means, in other words, you've got to apply yourself better, and you'll realize why your question is not even a question. So we're in the middle of discussing that the reason may be because Rebbe holds that all the 15 cases of our Mishnah have to be ones where there's no machloikis in them. The 16th case that Levi is proposing should have been in the Mishnah is the case where one of the brothers is married to a woman that their father had raped. Now, had he married her, then neither of the brothers would be able to have married her afterwards because one of them she's his mother and the other one she's his father's wife. And both of those are riots. But if the father raped her, then according to the Chachamim, there's not a problem marrying her. Only according to the Yehuda there is. So, according to the Yehuda, then, we would say that would be a 16th case, but not according to the Chachamim. Then we said that Rav Chiya taught a Braisa that said that there's something else that all these 15 have in common, namely that every one of them, you're able to find a case where it relates to a Mishnah that we're going to learn in the third parak, where you have four brothers and two of them passed away and two of them are still around, where each one of the two surviving brothers, there'll be one woman of the two brothers' wives who is an erva to them, and the other one who is not. And the point of that being, had neither of them been an erva, then you have a problem because neither one can do yibum because each one is his yivama, she's zikuka to him, but she's also at the same time a chos zikuka, she's also the wife, she's also the sister of his zikuka, and midrabanan, you're not allowed to marry the sister of your zikuka. So therefore, the result would be that they have to do chalitza. But the Mishnah is saying over there, and Rav Chiya is explaining, that each one of the 15 cases of our Mishnah can involve that where one of the women is an erva to one of the men, but not the other, and vice versa. And therefore, what we have is that either one of them is able to do yibum with the other one who is not an erva to him because the one who is not an erva won't be a chos zikukasa because he doesn't have a zika with the one who is an erva to him. So if we look back at the diagrams that I sent the other day, then for example, to take the first couple of examples, so when we look at diagram 37, for example, when it's just that Reuben and Shimon, the two brothers who've since passed away, had married the two sisters, Rachel and Leah, so now Levi can't do Yibum with either Rachel or Leah, because each one is just as much as she's Zikukasa, she's also Achos Zikukasa. But if, for example, we said that, let's say, for example, Levi is married to the daughter of one of them, is married to the daughter of Rachel in diagram 38. So then Rachel does not have a zika to him because he wouldn't have been able to do yibum with her. She's his mother-in-law. And therefore, he is able to do yibum with Leah because Leah is not a chos zikukasei. She's just strictly zikukasei. And then if we have in the next diagram 39, if both Levi and Yehuda, the two surviving brothers, are married to daughters of Reuben's and Shimon's respective wives, so one is married to the daughter of Rachel and the other is married to the daughter of Leah, then each one will be able to do Yibum with the other one who is not, who is not his mother-in-law. Levi will be able to do Yibum with Leah, and Yehuda will be able to do Yibum with Rachel, and there's no problem with Achos Sukkosei. And we can go through, as the following diagrams go through, and show how with every one of the 15 relationships in our Mishnah, it's possible to construct such a case. What we said was some of them actually involved that there would have to be onus involved in order for that to work in diagram 40 where Reuben and Shimon, we said that Reuben raped a woman and had a child with her, and Shimon also did, and now there are two children, Rachel and Leah, and Levi and Yehuda marry them respectively. There's no way to make that work if Reuben and Shimon had married this woman rather than raped her, because once Reuben married her and they have a child, then there's no Yibum, and therefore Shimon would have been also to marry her. So therefore we said that with the first six cases of our Mishnah, maybe we shouldn't say that this rule of Hasura Lozen or Teres Lozen, vice versa, applies. It does apply, but we can only make it work if there's onus involved. In any case, we said that, let's go back two lines then, four lines from the bottom. And the Gemara says, Aval Ashis Achiv Shaloi Hoyabai Lomai. When you have the 15th case of our Mishnah, where one brother was born after the other ones passed away, then you wouldn't have a case of, according to the Chachamim, that it should be possible to have a case of Hasudah Lozem, or Cheres Lozem, and vice versa. My time, Kimdul Rab Shimon, Ud Mashkachat Law, that Abban Lai Mashkachat Law. Because only according to Reb Shimon, you could find it not according to Chachamim, the Plug Doloi Kamairi, and we can say that we're not dealing with cases, of Machloikas. So that's what we said before. Rebbe is saying to Levi, or we assume that Rebbe is saying to Levi, that the Mishnah, the 15 cases of our Mishnah, don't involve any where the Machloikas, at least not, so they don't involve anything where the Machloikas, except between, you said, between the Shammah and the Silol, but that's fine, the Shammah and the Silol and the Mishnah, but that there should be a case that's subject to a Machloikas of Yehuda and the Chachamim, or of Shimon and the Chachamim, that case would involve a Machloikas of Shimon and the Chachamim, because it involves where brothers were born after a previous brother had passed away and Yibum was done, and therefore only according to the Shimon are they able to do Yibum, not according to the Chachamim. That's in diagram 52 we have where to begin with. Diagram 52 actually is what's going to be what the Gemara is going to explain, that we can make it work with six brothers. if we only have four brothers, then it could work only according to Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon will allow you to do Yibum. Reb Shimon will allow the newly born brothers to do Yibum when the newly born brother was born after Yibum was done. So if Yibum was done with this woman, so if Reuben was married to a woman, then he passed away, then Shimon, his brother, did Yibum with her. Then later on, they had a brother, Levi, was born. Then according to Reb Shimon, if Shimon passed away, Levi will be able to do Yibum with her, because the fact that originally she was Reuben's wife is neither here nor there, because by the time Levi was born, she was already Shimon's wife. So that kind of scenario with four brothers, then by the same token, if two of the brothers were married to sisters, Rashi teaches out that, Ashes Achim Shalayhe Bailamai, the whole concept is only according to, the whole concept within that, Reb Shimon will say that there's a difference. Sometimes Eish HaSachar Shalah HaRabbi Lama is mutter. So that's what we're saying, therefore, that we're not mentioning that would work only according to Reb Shimon. Only according to Reb Shimon is there such a thing of Eish HaSachar Shalah HaRabbi Lama being able to ever do Yibum. According to the Chachamim, she would be barred. So now the Gemara says, but Rav Safra Matagam of Eish HaSachar Shalah HaRabbi Lama, Rav Safra says, actually, I can find the case of Hasudah Lazeh Muteret Lazeh, where some of the brothers will be able to do Yibum with some of the wives, and some of them will not. In order to make it work, you would have to have six brothers. Unlike all the other cases we said so far, where you can construct them with four brothers, where you can have two of the brothers were married to women who are respectively some kind of erva to one of the surviving brothers and one of the other, and one the other. We can go, for example, to diagram 51 to illustrate one of those. For example, Achos Ishtoi, where Reuben and Shimon are married to sisters, and then Levi and Yehuda to begin with were married to sisters, Levi and Yehuda were saying were married to two women who are unrelated, but Reuben and Shimon. So you have actually the scenario over there was that you had two women who first were married to one man. Then they had children. Then they were married to a different man and had two more children. So now those four women, Dina, Rochel, Leah, and Nama, are half sisters. If now two of them married two of the brothers, then two of them married two of the other brothers. So now if two of the brothers, Levi and Yehuda, pass away, then each one, Dina, is a half sister to Reuben's wife, and then Nama is a half sister to Leah's. To Shimon's wife. Therefore, again, you have a scenario over there where Shimon is not able to do Yibum with Nama. She's his wife's sister, but he is able to do with Dina, and vice versa. That's another example of Hatsur Lazem or Chayda Fozet. So now we're saying, though, as far as Eish HaSachar Shalah HaRabbi Lama, that we wouldn't have a way of constructing that we'd only have a way of constructing it according to Reb Shimon, and we would say the Plug Dalai Kamayi, that we're not dealing with Machloikas. So, Rav Safra Matagam of Eish HaSachar Shalah HaRabbi Lama. So Rav Safra says, I can actually find the case of Eish HaSachar Shalah HaRabbi Lama and say that there's a case where Ha'asur Lazeh Mucheres Lazeh and vice versa. Or Mashkachas L'Beshita Achim. You can find it when you have six brothers. So now we go to diagram 52 and we work out the case involving that. The Simonach, Mes Nolad V'Yibim, Mes Nolad V'Yibim. So the way to remember the scenario will be that there was one died, another one was born, and the next one did Yibum. Nes know that the Yibum, and then you have the same thing with the other half of the family. So the scenario over here in diagram 52, we start off with four brothers, two of whom are married to two sisters. Then one of them passes away. So Reuben passes away. That's Mess. Reuben's wife Rochel needs to do Yibum. But so far Shimon can't do with her because Shimon is married to her sister Leah. So instead Levi does Yibum. Before he does Yibum, Yisachar is born. So now even Reb Shimon agrees, we're going to say that Yisachar can't do Yibum with her because she's Eish HaSachar Shalah HaRabbi Lama. When he was born, she wasn't yet Levi's wife because Levi hadn't yet done Yibum. She was only Reuben's wife and Reuben wasn't in the world at the same time as him. And that kind of thing is barred by the pasuk that says that they have to be kiyeshu achim yachdav, that they live together in the world at the same time. So far we have where Rochel is going to be mutter to some of the brothers, namely she would be mutter to Levi, who actually does Yibum with her. She'd also be mutter at that point to Yehuda. Yehuda has nothing to do with Leah yet. And Zvulun, let's say, hasn't been born yet. So then after that, then Shimon passes away and Yehuda does Yibum with his wife. And then after that, Zebulun is born. So now you have Yisachar can't marry Rachel because she's Eish Yisachar Shaloi Bailamai, but he would be able to marry Leah because Yisachar was in the world at the same time when Shimon was still married to Leah before Shimon passed away. On the other hand, with Zvulun, Zvulun would be also with Leah. Same idea because he was born before Leah did Yibum. However, he'd be able to marry Rachel because she's not a chosik kukase. So you can make it work with six brothers. So mess no the yibum. So Reuben dies, Yisachar is born, then Levi does Yibum, then Reuben dies, Yisachar is born, and Levi does Yibum, and then the same thing the second time around. Shimon dies, Yehuda does Zvulun is born, and then Yehuda does Yibum. So now at the end you're going to have over there where Yisachar and Zvulun respectively are osur with one of these women and mutter to the other one. So you could construct such a scenario, provided that you're willing to accept six brothers instead of four. Rav Safra is saying the Mishnayos later on in the Masechta talk about four brothers, but according to Rav Shimon, this particular scenario would involve six. But the bottom line is that all of that is only according to Rav Shimon. According to the Chachamim, nothing doing, because according to them, any time he was loy hoya by lomoy, then he's usher. So it doesn't matter when Yisachar was born before or after the Yibum of Rachel. It doesn't matter when Zvulun was born before or after the Yibum of Leah. Either way, the woman was at one point married to a brother who was not in the world at the same time as him. At one point, Rachel was married to Reuben, who died before Yisachar was born. At one point, Leah was married to Shimon, who died before Zvulun was born. Therefore, according to Chachamim, that wouldn't work. Neither one of them could do Yibum. And you wouldn't have that she's also to one brother, and that each, you wouldn't have that one woman is also to one brother and mutter to the other. In fact, both women would be also to both newly born brothers, according to the Chacham. So now, if we assume that Reb Chiya's statement, that by all of them, by all 15 of the women in our Mishnah, you can apply to them the case that it says later on in Perek Gimel, Ha'asura lazem u'teres lazeh, Ha'asura lazem u'teres lazeh, then if you learn that way, then we would have to say necessarily that one case of our Mishnah, namely Eish Yisachar Shaloi Hayu Bailamai, is not like the other ones in that it involves machloikas. And we wanted to say that Rebbe is saying that all the cases of our Mishnah do not involve a machlokas, because that was why he dismissed Levi's idea that there should be a 16th one. So Ella, necessarily, therefore, we have to say, Rebbe, Hani, Chloe, Leslie, Rebbe does not agree with these rules. And he would say that he doesn't have to agree with Reb Chiya's rule. Reb Chiya came up with on his own that he learned from other Rebbeim of his, that each of these 15 cases, you could make that work, but that would be only according to Reb Shimon. Rebbe is giving us a Mishnah over here, or Rebbe had for us a Mishnah that came from earlier times that lists the 15. And none of them involve machlokas. So fine, in that case, when it comes to Yibum with the women themselves, there's no machlokas about any of the 15 of these. Even Reb Shimon is going to say that Eish Yisachar Shaloi Hayu Bailamai in certain cases is not going to do Yibum. The fact that Reb Chiya is saying, in addition, another thing that these 15 have in common is Asur Lazem, Teres Lazeh, etc., Rebbe doesn't have to agree with that. Or Rebbe can say, fine, I agree that may be the case, but that's not why only these 15 are listed in the Mishnah, because were that the case, it would actually have to list only 14, since one of them is subject to a machlokas. On the other hand, the Gemara continues, Rav Ada Karchina Kamedira Kahana Omer Meshmedi Rava. Rav Ada Karchina says in the name of Rava, in front of Rav Kahana, Lo'olam Isra the Rebbe Hani Kvali. Actually, we could say that Rebbe does agree with the rule that Rav Chiya said. We can say that Rebbe doesn't have a problem with a scenario that involves machlok. That's a scenario that would be only according to Reb Shimon and not according to actually we could have the no little the safe yibim according to everybody. Again, you could have a case where it'll be allowed. So maybe there could be a case where Rebbe accepts that. However, what he's telling Reb Chiya is that you Levi are trying to find a 16th case, namely where one brother is married to a woman who their father had raped. So Rebbe is telling him the reason it's not included is actually nothing to do with machlokas, but rather b'chada mashkachas lo b'tauti loika mashkachas lo, because you can find a case where one brother is also to her. You can't find a case where the other brother is mutter and vice versa, you can't find both halves of the equation to say that it should be ha'asur lozeh muteres lozeh, and to say that the two women are sisters. There's no way to make that work with the scenario that you Levi want to propose, because e Yaakov beis achoyes on us. If the case was that Yaakov, the father of these brothers, had raped two different women, Rachel and Leah, and let's say the two of them were sisters. So diagram 54 then, let's say that Yaakov raped Rachel and had two children with her, Reuben and Levi. Then he also raped Leah, who is Rachel's sister, and had two children with her, Shimon and Yehuda. Now you have, so Reuben and Shimon are the sons of two sisters. So you have a case where Rachel and Leah, when Reuben and Shimon die, then Rachel and Leah are sisters who are Yuvamas, and therefore you have the issue of Achos Sikukasai. But it will be impossible to say the case that we should say that Levi is also in one and Mutter in the other, and vice versa. One of them is his mother, and the other one is his mother's sister, and both of them are Arias, and vice versa. So you would have the case of sisters, but you don't have the case of Asur Lazem or Teres Lazeh, because Rachel won't be Mutter to Levi, she's his mother, and Leah won't be Mutter to him. Fine, she's not his father's wife. She's not his father's wife, but she is his mother's sister, who is also an erva. And the Eve Days Nochrius on us. And if instead the two women, Rachel and Leah, were not sisters, they were two unrelated women, then sure, you can have Levi is also in Rachel because she's his mother, but he's Mutter in Leah because she's not his father's wife, and she's not his father's wife, and she's not his mother's sister because they're unrelated women. But you don't have the case that it could be a sister who's a Yavama because they're two unrelated women. So that could be a reason why Rebbe is dismissing Levi's idea of mentioning Anusa Soviv, because he's saying that you want to find a case where you have both, where the two women are sisters, and where one of them is mutter to one and also to the other, and vice versa, so that you don't have the issue of achos to kukasai. Well, in a case of the father's wife, there's no way to make that work. Rav Ashi says, here's another answer. We can understand Rebbe's position differently. Lo'olam lesle le Rebbe hani kvali. We could say that Rebbe does not hold of the rules that we've said so far. We don't have to say that it's because it doesn't fit with the Asur Lazem or Tiras Lazer. We don't care about that, because maybe Rebbe doesn't hold of that rule in the sense that Rebbe doesn't hold that you have to have every one of these 15 should be an Asura Lozem or Teres Lozem. Or with Plugta Kamayri, we can also say that Rebbe is willing to say that of the 15 cases in our Mishnah, some of them involve Machlokas. So that would explain Eishes Achib Shaloi Hoya Bar Lomoi, where you have scenarios where that works only according to the Shimon and not according to the Chachanim. So what is his problem with Levi's idea of mentioning Anus HaSaviv? Why is he dismissing it and saying it seems that you have no brains in your head? What he's telling him is a different reason. Fine, you want to say that case, and you're saying that's according to Rabbi Yehuda. Fine, I have no problem with some of the cases in our Mishnah involving Machlokes. But he's saying, my timer, like Dikas Masnissin, why are you not being careful to, why are you not reading our Mishnah more carefully, the Masnissin of Yehuda? And if you do, you'll realize that our Mishnah necessarily has to be according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Osir Ba'amnus HaSaviv. Namely, and we said before, that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who would say that Anus HaSaviv is in fact off limit to him. And Kedushin are not Toitis. And we know that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, Jachatani, because the next Mishnah, and very often the Gemara assumes that all the Mishnayos in one Perek come from one Tana, especially when they're kind of in a continuation like this, when the Mishnah first said Chamesh Esrei Nashim, and then the next Mishnah on Dr. Gimel is going to continue that thought and say there are another six. And the Mishnah says, Shesh Arayas Chamuras Me'elu, there are six more Arayas that are more stringent than these, Mepneshe in Nesuris La'achirim, because necessarily they were married to others, therefore tzareseh and mutaris, so therefore their tzareseh are mutar in Yibum. Namely, we said that, the six are, the first ones are imoy ve'eshesavet v'achosavet, his mother, his father's wife, or his wife, or his brother's sister, or his father's sister. Namely, in other words, the idea is, if you have Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven is married to Shimon's mother, then in fact that would be an erva to him, and therefore if Reuven in addition is married to another woman, then she's not. The difference is in our Mishnah, each of the women, each of the Chamesh Esrei Nashim, is an erva to one brother, but not to another. The first brother who married her was perfectly allowed to marry her, as opposed to if the woman is the mother of one of the boys, to one of them she's his mother, so of course she's off limit, but to the other one she's also, because she was his father's wife. So you can't make that work. Necessarily, the mother has to be married to somebody else. She can't have been married to the second brother in a way that Kedushin would be typhus. And the first three on the list are his mother, his father's wife, and his father's sister. So my imoy. So now we have to figure out, says Rashi, when we say imoy in that Mishnah, what do we mean? Ilema nesuas aviv. Do we mean a woman who was married to his father? Well, hainu eshes aviv, and that's the same thing as his father's wife. So if the Mishnah is already mentioning, if the second one of the Mishnah is Eishes Aviv, necessarily then that would be the case where they're both married to him. Elalav Anus HaSaviv. Obviously the word Imoy must be talking about where the father, Yaakov in this example, raped a woman and had a child with her, where according to the Chachamim then, the brother who's not her son is allowed to marry her, is allowed to do Yibum with her, and according to the Yehuda not. And the Mishnah is saying that there's no way that she could have married the other brother. She couldn't have been married to any of the brothers. That would be according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Anus HaSaviv is also. The man shamat lay the Islay Hai Svara. So after all, who has that Svara of Yehuda? The Osav Anus HaSaviv. So Rav Ashi is saying, Rebbe is telling Levi that you want to add Anus HaSaviv in our Mishnah. The problem is not that our Mishnah can't include cases of Machlokas. The problem is not that our Mishnah has to be that every one of them is Asura Lazem or Teres Lazem. The problem is that our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't know, and Rabbi Yehuda says that Anus HaSaviv is Osir to both brothers. So that's why Mishra Mahachi Lai Tani Lai, and therefore that's what Rebbe is saying. That's why the Mishnah doesn't count it, and that's why he's telling Levi, what are you even thinking that it should be added? Don't you realize that our Mishnah is according to Rebbe Yehuda, and according to Rebbe Yehuda, it in fact shouldn't be listed. But Amalei Ravina L'Ravashi, however, Ravina asked Ravashi. Now look, even according to Rebbe Yehuda, who says that Anusas Aviv is also, He still doesn't say that there is an Isur Kares involved. Even Rav Yehuda, who says that Anusas Aviv is Osir, he agrees, and he would say it's only an Isur Lav. Because after all, it's not listed together with all the other Arayas. It's listed as a separate thing. We said back on Dakdalad that since it says V'lo Yigala Knaf Aviv, then that comes to include that Anusas Aviv is Osir to him. However, it's only a Lav. And we know that according to most of the Tanoim, and this is the halacha, kiddushin are toifsin b'chayve lavin. You have a woman who you're also to marry by a lav, but nevertheless, if you do, then kiddushin are toifis, and it requires a gift or whatever. So therefore, it's a little Yehuda nami mashkachas lav. So even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would have a scenario that it could work. De'i over benasid, namely, suppose that Yaakov raped a woman and he had a son with her Reuven. So he's also married to another woman and has a son with her Shimon. So now Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Shimon is not allowed to marry this woman because she's Anusas Aviv. Nevertheless, if he is over on that lab and marries her, Kedushin or Tophis, and therefore, so now when he dies, then she's Imoy to Reuven, she's Reuven's mother, but she was validly married to Shimon. Shimon did an Isser lab by marrying her, but Kedushin were Tophis, so you have such a case, so why don't we list it in our Mishnah? And the answer is the Mashkachas of the Nasiv. You could have it where he was over and married her. And the answer is the Lokatani. Fine, we're not talking about a case like that where the cases in our Mishnah, all of them involved where the marriage was complete. The first marriage that now brings us to Yibum was completely mutter. There was no issue in it at all, not even an issue lab. So we don't have to say the Mishnah is talking about one where he was over and married Anusas Aviv. Again, according to Rav Ashi that we're talking about over here, that our Mishnah specifically is according to Rav Yehuda, the only way to make that work would be if he was over and then married her, and we're not talking about that. We're talking about only cases where the marriage itself was mutter, and then afterwards now we have there's an issue of erva involved. Omelet of Ashi to Rav Kahana, but Rav Ashi continues and says to Rav Kahana, "V'loy de'i nami mashkachasla." Actually, you could have an example even without requiring that anybody married the Isser. Namely, you could have Yaakov onas kalosai. Suppose that Yaakov raped his daughter-in-law, who was Reuven's wife. So now we have diagram 55. We'll illustrate this. Reuven is married to Shifra and Puah. Yaakov goes and rapes Shifra. Then Shifra has a son from that Levi. So Levi is a brother of Reuven. He's also a son of Reuven's wife Shifra. Yaakov raped Shifra. Vaholid mimena bein. He had a son with her Levi. Umes Reuven v'lo bonim. Reuven dies childless. Shifra had a son, but Reuven doesn't. V'nof lo lakame bra. So now you have a case where Shifra is up for Yibum to Levi. And obviously Levi can't because Shifra is his mother. Umnigo de'i asira, tzarasi nami asira. And since she's Osir, so is her tzara, Pua. So you could actually have, even according to, even without anybody having married the Isser, it only involves there was a rape over here of somebody who's also to Yaakov, namely his daughter-in-law, which is an Isser Kares, but there was no marriage over here. There was no marriage, and we still have a case where it involves his mother, and it involves his mother's tzara. So why isn't that listed in the Mishnah? Amalei, So Rav Kahana answers him, ba'achvosa de'etero kamayri, ba'achvosa de'isura lo kamayri. Because in our Mishnah, we're only dealing with cases where the brothers were born from something that was mutter, not where one of the brothers was born from something that was also. Here, the brother, Levi, was born from something that is also, named the Yaakov, with his daughter-in-law, Shifra. Therefore, we're not listing that. It's true that there would be such a case. It's true you could construct such a case, but nevertheless, the Mishnah doesn't have to list it, because the Mishnah is talking about in all the cases of our Mishnah, the two brothers were born legitimately. Not over here, where one of the brothers is where one of the brothers was born from some where one of the brothers was born from oneness like that, and where in fact he Levi would actually be a mamzer. In fact, by the way, the fact that he's a mamzer in and of itself wouldn't potter him from Yibum. Had it been that it was some other kind of case that doesn't involve the Yavama being his mother, then you would actually have, he can't do Yibum because he's a mamzer, but he could do Chalitza. We'll talk about that in the next parak. But over here, it's true that he's potter from Chalitza and Yibum with his mother and with his mother's Tzara, but we're not listing that because to begin with, he was born from an Isser. So the Gemara says, Va'afa became Bodka Levi b'masnisei. Nevertheless, even though we said that as far as Anusas Oviv, we said that when Levi proposed, why isn't it in the Mishnah? We said that Rebbe dismissed it and said Kimdumali Shein Moyach B'Kad Kodoy. So nevertheless, Levi still put it into his Mishnah. So Levi, in other words, has his collection of Braises that explain the Mishnah. All of the many of the Chachamim of that generation did the same way as you have the Tesefta that was composed by Rav Chiya and Rav Oshia. The same way the Gemara mentions in other places the Mishnah, meaning the Braises of Bar Kappara and of Karna and so forth. So the same thing. Also, Levi had his collection of Braises, so he added this case to his collection of Braises. Because, fine, it doesn't belong in the Mishnah for any of the reasons that we said, because the Mishnah is not dealing with cases of Machloikas, or because the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda, or whatever. But nevertheless, it is a case that at least according to some Tanoim exists, and the Toni Levi. So Levi teaches in a Braita. Imai Pomim Pateret Tzorasa, Pomim Ena Pateret Tzorasa. There can be a case where his mother sometimes patters with Tzara from Yibum, and sometimes not. If his mother was married to his father, and this woman also married his brother from his father, which is also for the brother to do because she's his father's wife, umes, and then the brother died, that would be the case of a mother that doesn't pater with Sarah. That would be in diagram 56. In diagram 56, if Yaakov is married to two unrelated women, Naomi and Chana, and he has a son with each one of them, if Shimon marries Naomi, which he's also to do because she's his father's wife, then we say that Kiddushin aren't Tophis. So therefore, if Shimon is also married to another woman, Rachel, then we say that Reuven does Yibum with Rachel because the fact that she's the Tzara of his mother is neither here nor there, because his mother herself was also to Shimon by an Isur Kares. So Zuhi Imesh and Pateres Tzarasa, that would be a case of a woman who does not pater her Tzara because to begin with, Shimon was never able to marry Naomi in a way that would be valid lahalacha, because it's an Isur Kares and Kedushin aren't Tophis. On the other hand, continues Levi, Hoise Ima and Nusas Aviv, if in the same scenario, if instead of Naomi having been married to Yaakov, if Yaakov had raped her, the Nisus La'ochid Me'aviv, and then later on she marries Shimon, umes, and then Shimon dies, zuhi imesh at the teres tzarasa. So that would be a case of a mother, that would be a case when Shimon dies, Reuven is potter from chalitza or yibum with Naomi, his mother, and also therefore with Hutzara Rachel, because in that case, even though fine, because then according to Yehuda, Shimon wasn't allowed to marry Naomi, but according to, and it would be an Isur Lab. But according to the Chachamim, he is perfectly allowed to marry her. So therefore, so that could be a case where you have a mother involved where she can pass to her tzara. And Levi finishes off. So even though the Chachamim said in our Mishnah, Chamesh Esrei, that you really only have, that you have 15, really, Yesh Lono L'Hosef Shesh Esrei, you can actually add a 16th case like that, And the fact is, we do have to consider that case. It's not mentioned in our Mishnah because, as we said, our Mishnah is only dealing with cases that everybody would agree with, or our Mishnah is only dealing according to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't allow this, and so forth. But the case does exist according, the case does exist according to the Chachamim. And then again, we said that actually even Levi doesn't even include in his Braisa, but we said that there's even a 17th case possible, namely the case that we said before in diagram 55, where Yaakov onas talosai. Even Levi is not including that in his Braisa, but nevertheless, again, the case does exist. So now, though, Rish Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan, Levi de'omar de'inami, the Inami Katani, according to Levi, that was saying that, that according to Levi, who says that our Mishnah could be talking about even cases where a person was over on an Isur Lav, namely, so we said that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the whole concept of Anusas Oviv is only a Lav, and therefore, so we're saying Levi is including that case in our Mishnah, so that's what it is. So of the 16th and 17th possible cases that we have, Levi is not including the 17th case because that involves something which is also according to everybody. Everybody agrees that Yaakov is not allowed to have relations with his daughter-in-law. So on the other hand, not only that's not allowed, but there's an Isur Kores. So to mention a case that could only be constructed by somebody being over on an Isur Kores, even Levi is not including that in his tablet. But the case of Anusas Oviv, granted according to Rabbi Yehuda, Anusas Oviv is Osir, but even according to him, it's only an Isur Lav. So if Levi is willing to accept in his list, in his tally, he's willing to include a case where a person was over on an Isur Lav, because after all, Kedushin are Tophus with that, well then, listen, then I can give you another scenario. Suppose you have a regular case of Yibum, where instead of doing Yibum, he did Chalitza, because of a Kitcha, then afterwards he was Makadisher. Now, later on, we're going to talk about that. The Yivama, once Chalitza was done, she's also to him only by a lav. That's going to be the next sugya that we're going to start in a few lines is going to be discussing about that. According to the Shlokish, at least, according to the Shlokish, the one who did Chalitza is only going to be subject to an Isur Lav if later on he's over and marries her. And according to the Yochanan, we're going to say soon, all of the brothers are only Osir to her by an Isur Lav. We're going to learn soon the source of that lav. But so even though this woman was his brother's wife, she was mutter to him in Yibum. If instead of Yibum he did Chalitza, then afterwards, if he's Makadisher, then he's being over only on a lav. Now, we're saying Levi is including cases where there's a lav involved. So listen, Acholot Levin, okay? So you have another case where he did Chalitza with his Yivama because of a Kidsha, then he was Makadisher, so now he's over on an Isur Lav. So he's over on an Isur Lav, but nevertheless, Kiddushin are Tophus. And then Umes Veloibonim, then he passed away not having any children. Now she's also, and so is her tzara. So that would be the case where, there you have, she herself is also, because she herself is also, and her tzara is also as well. So now Rish Lakish is gonna say soon that Rish Lakish is gonna learn that this woman is also only by a lav to the one who did chalitza to her. However, he learns that she's also by an isur kares to all the other brothers. Therefore, so is her tzara. So there you have another case. So suppose then you have the scenario where one of the brothers was married to this woman. Then he passed away. Okay. Another one of the brothers did chalitza with her. Later on, he was Makadisher again. Then he passed away childless. So now he and his other wife, his tzara, are up for Yibum, but they're not. Rish Lakish would say that the original one is also by an Issur Kares to all the other brothers except the one who did Chalitza, and the one who did Chalitza is dead, and therefore Hutzara would also be Issur. So why don't we list that as well? Granted, we wouldn't list if we say that we're not listing cases where there was an Issur, because after all, to do Chalitza and then do you and then marry her afterwards is an Issur Lav. But if Levi is listing even a case that involves an Issur Lav, then why don't we have that as well? Rabbi Yochanan answers him, Lefisha ain't a tzara tzara. Because, fine, you can have that her tzara is also, but you don't really have the case of tzara tzarasa. Our Mishnah is saying that not only the erva herself is potter from chalitza and yibum, but so is her tzara, and so is her tzara tzara, so for over, meaning, as we said, that as they go through the other brothers, as each one of the brothers does yibum with the tzara, let's say, and he has another wife, so now when he dies, then now, so the tzara of the original erva is potter from chalitza and yibum, and so is her tzara from the next husband, and so on, and from the next brother, and so on and so forth. This case that you're constructing over here, says Rabbi Yochanan, to Rish Lakish, there's no tzara possible, because, let's look at diagram 58, Reuven, to begin with, was married to Rachel. Shimon did chalitza with her. Then Shimon was with Rachel. Then Shimon was over and married Rachel. And after all, he's over on Issur Lav. Shimon is meanwhile married to another wife named Reuven. Shimon is married to another wife named Miriam. Now, when Shimon dies, both Rachel and Miriam are equally well also by an Issur Kares to the remaining brothers, Levi and Yehuda. So if either one of them marries either Rachel or Miriam, then they're going to be Chayiv Kares. And therefore, since we said, and Kedushin aren't Tophus. So therefore, so Esther, who was Levi's wife, won't be considered the Tzara of an Erva, because Levi wasn't validly married to either Rachel or Miriam, and the same thing applies to the rest of the brothers. Yehuda Shlokish are saying that only Shimon, that uniquely among all the brothers, only Shimon is also to Rachel only by an Issur Lav, not by an Issur Kares. The rest of the brothers, though, Levi and Yehuda, who didn't do Chalitza with her, are in fact also with Rachel by an Issur Kares. Therefore, Kedushin aren't Tophus. Therefore, you don't have a case of Tzorah Tzorasa. You don't have a case where Rachel or Miriam could have been validly married at any point to Levi or Yehuda, such that then Esther should be considered the Tzara of an Erva. So therefore, so that's why it's not listed. So the question is, why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan answer him in a different way? He could answer him that all Rabbi Yochanan himself holds, as we're going to see in the Gemara soon, that all of them are chayve lavin, the chayve lavin bnei chalitza v'yibum minhu. All of this. So what do you mean? According to Rabbi Yochanan, actually, it would be possible. There's no kares involved. Again, it would require that each one of them is over on an Issur Lav, but an Issur Lav is not an Issur Kares, Kedushin or Tophus. So why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan tell him that, in fact, it is possible to have, Tzara Tzara, even with this case? And the answer is Lidvarav Kamalei. And the answer is he's saying, according to the Shlokish, he's saying, Lidi, as far as I'm concerned, Chayavi Lavin Haim, to all the brothers, Rachel and then Miriam, would be also only by a Lav, Chayavi Lavin B'nei Chalitza V'Yibum Ninu. And such things, Chalitza and Yibum, are possible. It would be an Issur Lav to do. It would be an Issur Lav to marry her. But nevertheless, Chalitza and Yibum are possible, since Kedushin are Tophus. So therefore, yes, actually, in that scenario, then we would say that in fact Esther, for example, in this example, Esther, who was the tzara of Miriam after Levi was over and married her, or Rachel for that matter, then fine, she would be chayev in chalitza or yibum, but because there's an issur lav, then you'd have to do chalitza. So as far as I'm concerned, the question is not even is a non-starter, says Rabbi Yochanan, because in fact the tzara is not osur. The tzara may be osur, but not osur to the extent where they patter from yibum. Even according to you, Resh Lakish, that you want to say that Miriam, you want to say that Rachel should be also by Kores to Levi and Yehuda, who didn't do Chalitza with her. Nevertheless, fine, but it doesn't extend as far as Tzoras Tzara. Esther is never going to be, Esther, Levi's wife, is never going to be Potter from Chalitza or Yibam on that basis, because if Levi is over and marries Rachel, then he's over on an Issur Kores. So that brings us into a discussion. If a person does chalitza with his yavama because of a kitcha, and then he turns around and is makadish her, so definitely he's over on an isul lav. But omer shlokish who ain't chayav al chalitza kares, so he is not chayav an isul kares, because at one point she was mutter to him, and it's only a lav now, that it's only as the result of a lav that now she's also to him after the chalitza. But al chalutza, who ain't chayav al chalutza kares? Va'achin chayav and al chalutza kares. But the other brothers would be chayav kares if they marry her. So in the same diagram 58, if Reuven was married to Rachel, died, Shimon did chalitza with Rachel, then he marries her. If Shimon marries her, then he's over on a lav. If Levi or Yehuda were to marry her, says Resh Lakish, they would be chayav kares. Rabbi Yechanan amar bein achin ein chayavin loyal chalutza kares v'loyal tzara kares. Rabbi Yechanan says no. All of them, Shimon or Levi or Yehuda, if they marry Rachel after the chalitza, then they're only over on an isul lav, no kares. So the Gemara says, my time did Resh Lakish. Now, why does Resh Lakish say that the brother who did Chalitza is only over on Issur Lav, and if he marries her, and all the rest of the brothers is Kares? So because like this, how do we know B'chlau that after Chalitza you're not allowed to marry the woman? Because the Pasuk says, Asher lo yivne, the Pasuk says in the wording that they use during the Chalitza, and the woman says, "Kocha ye osa la'ish asher lo yivne es beisach." This is what should be done to a man who will not build up his brother's house. So the expression "asher lo yivne" in future tense means kiven shle bana shuv lo yivne. It means once he failed to do bana, once he did chalitza instead of yibum, and in that case he's not perpetuating his brother's name because he didn't marry his widow, then shuv lo yivne. Then he's not allowed to be boina her afterwards. He's not allowed to go and marry her afterwards. So therefore, Resh Lakish says, "Ihu who dekayim dekoy v'lo yivne." So only he is subject to that lav of lo yivne. Aval echav kedekayim yikayim. The rest of the brothers are just as also to her as they were before. She is their brother's wife. She was married to Reuven, who died. They were at one point they were mutter to her in Yibum, but chalitza was done. So now she remains. She's still their brother's wife in a case where no Yibum is allowed, and therefore there be an issur kares. And ba'alodi johu dekoy v'lo yivne. Furthermore, Resh Lakish says the lo yivne also the isur lav would apply only to her that he did chalitza with. Hatzora kedekayim yikayim. But suppose that Reuven was married to two wives and Shimon did chalitza with one of them. Then Resh Lakish says, fine, that one if he marries her, he's over on an isur lav. But the other one, the tzora, which he didn't do chalitza with, if he marries her, then it's an issur kares. Because again, there's no yibum possible with her. Once you do chalitza to one wife, then it passes to one of a man's wives, then it passes all the other ones. So now the other ones are not so now the other ones are not subject to yibum, and therefore the Shlokesh says no yibum means kares. Only when it comes to the one that he did chalitza to, only then do we have the special lav lo yivne. On the other hand, Rabbi Yechanan says to that, no, if one of them is also to her only by an issur lav, it has to be that all of them. Rabbi Yechanan says, mi ikam midi, gimme ikri, iboy hai cholitz, iboy hai cholitz, iboy la hai cholitz, iboy la hai cholitz. Sorry, mi ikam midi, gimme ikra, iboy hai cholitz, iboy hai cholitz. How could you possibly imagine that there could be a scenario where, to begin with, any of the brothers could have validly done chalitza? Shimon or Levi or Yehuda could all validly do chalitza with Rachel. And the iboy lehai chalitz, the iboy lehai chalitz. And furthermore, that Reuven was married to two wives, and Shimon or Levi or Yehuda could have equally well done chalitza with either one of them. And all of a sudden, v'hashta koya lobakaris. Now all of a sudden, because chalitza was done, all the other ones, all the other brothers, and all the other wives are involved kares. So no, you can't say that, says Rabbi Yechonon. It doesn't make sense. Therefore, necessarily you have to say that when Shimon is doing chalitza, he's doing it as a shliach of all the other brothers, and therefore it's considered as though all the brothers did chalitza to her, and therefore the same isur lav would apply to all of them. And and if there were two wives, then one of them, when she does chalitza, is doing it as a shlichus for herself and the other wife, and therefore the same rules would apply to both of them. If one of them is an isur lav, then the other one is also an isur lav. Rabbi Yechonon says that it's all an isur lav for all of them. There's no isur kores for any one of them. One way of looking at it is once chalitza was done, essentially, are we saying that's what the Gemara is saying? Essentially, the question is whether the chalitza is done on behalf of only himself or on behalf of all the other brothers as well. So the Gemara says, Eis v'Rav Yochanan l'Rish Lakish. Hacholitz v'Yivimtoi. A Braisa says, if a man does chalitza with his yavama, v'chaz of a kitra, and then he was makadisher, we're fine. There's definitely an isur lav involved. Ummes, and he dies. Tzvicha chalitza min achin, and she needs chalitza from the other brothers. So Rav Yochanan says, v'shleim l'didi daminu d'chay v'lavaninu. According to me, that I say that to all the other brothers, Rachel is also only by an isur lav. Well, then hainu d'tzvicha chalitza min achin. That explains why she needs chalitza. Yibum, fine, they can't do because they don't want to be over on a lav. But kedushin are tofes with chay v'lavin, and therefore, if had they been over and done yibum, it would take effect, and therefore, instead, they have to do chalitza. But according to you, Rish Lakish, that she's an isur kares to all the other brothers, amai tzricha chalitza. Why should she need chalitza from any of the other brothers? He himself was able to be makadisher. He himself was only an isur lav. But as soon as he dies, as soon as the second brother, Shimon, dies, then she's an isur. She was already before, and she remains now an isur kares to Levi and Yehuda, according to you, Rish Lakish. Why should she need chalitza from them? Kedushin on tofes. So the Gemara answers, V'li taimeich, so Rish Lakish will answer Rav Yechonon, nu, and according to your svara, Ema Sefer, Omad Echem and Achem the Kitcha, the Braisa continues, that if one of the other brothers was Makadisher, Ein Law Olaf Klum, then she doesn't have any claim against him, she doesn't need anything, she doesn't need a get, because Kedushin aren't Tophis, V'ichai V'lav and Ninu, if it's only an Isur Lav, Amai Ein Law Olaf Klum, then why shouldn't she? After all, again, Kedushin are Tophis with Chai V'lavin, so you should have, if one of the other brothers is over and marries her, then we would say that according to Sir Shlokish would say that part of the Braisa is easily understandable according to me. Because it's an Isur Kares, therefore no get is needed. But according to the Yud of Yechanan, it's only an Isur Lav. Why shouldn't the get be needed? And the answer is, Omer of Sheshes, Seifa Asam Rav Akiva. The answer is, we could answer that the end of the Braisa goes according to Rav Akiva, the Omer Ein Kiddushin Tofsin B'chai V'lavin, whereas we're going to learn multiple times in Omer Sechta, he holds that none of that Kiddushin are not Tofsin with Chai V'lavin either. So therefore, even if we say like Rav Yechanan, that Rochel is also to all the brothers as a Lav of Asher Lo Yivneh, Nevertheless, Rav Akiva would hold that Kiddushin aren't Tofsin with any of them. So the question is, if you're listening to the Divrei Rav Akiva, Ein Loy Olav Klum, well, if you're going to say like that, then shouldn't it say that he has no requirement? Because according to Rav Akiva, after all, even the original brother who did Yibum was forget about Ein Loy Olav Klum. It should say the Divrei Rav Akiva, Ein Loy Olav Klum. It should say that according to Rav Akiva, Ein Loy Olav Klum. Because Kiddushin aren't Tofes because it's an Isur Lav. I mean, Gemara says, Kasha, you're right. It would be hard to understand how Rav Sheshes would explain that, given that the Braisa should have clearly said that part is according to Rav Akiva. Or for that matter, I guess we could ask that in that case, if a coin's in about kibbutz, kedushin or not tofus, v'chayve lavin, then it wouldn't have been tofus with the first brother either. Shimon would no more need a get from her than any of the other brothers would, because a coin's in about kibbutz, he wasn't allowed, a coin's in about kibbutz, when he married her, kedushin weren't chal either. Kedushin weren't tofus either. So it's a kasha how that would be. And we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, and talk about, we'll analyze that Braisa and see how it works according to the Shlokish and according to the Bishma.